energy, Buzzers. Hit that music. Scoop, scoop, Persas. There's a feeling that it's interesting to note. Dirty Busters. If there's something strange in the latest report, who are you gonna call? Dirty Busters. If it's an egregious lie and anonymously sourced, who are you gonna call? Dirty Busters. I ain't afraid of no lies. I ain't printing a retraction. Dirty Busters! Take it away, Macchiari!
This first one's from Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Meltz listened to the all-time greatest episode of Ring Rust Radio 2 weeks ago.
Nah, yeah, he did.
Yep. It looks like WWE will finally do the four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. You know, or the four joke women, am I right?
Burns!
Yeah.
I don't like it.
At the Survivor Series pay-per-view on November 18th at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, word count, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, WWE's horsewomen are Charlotte Flair, so yeah, we know. Angles were planned and filmed for the match in 2017, but the match never happened. There's been recent talk of doing the match, and word is that the teases are being sent out, whatever that means.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, we've been saying for how long that they're probably going to do it, and if they're going to do it, it's probably going to be at Survivor Series.
WWE has teased elimination it so many matches. Times. WWE has promoted videos in NXT. They had them all stand together. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure do.
So, yeah, there's a chance it could happen. Yes, agreed.
Yeah, they're all with WWE right now, so yeah, probably going to happen.
I mean, it probably won't happen now because, you know, Becky and Charlotte, but whatever.
Becky.
Sad for Becky. Anger for Charlotte.
It's from Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Now Jason Jordan apparently may never wrestle again.
No!
Whoa. I don't like that.
No, not at all.
It looks like Jason Jordan could be interested in a potential career as a WWE producer. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that Jordan has been shadowing WWE producers as of late as a way to learn the ropes since he's had issues following neck surgery. As noted, the situation surrounding Jordan's neck is worse than expected, and there's no word yet on when he will be back in the ring. He underwent neck surgery on February 5th and was cleared several weeks back, tentatively scheduled to return to the ring in July, but plans have changed, and he's not expected back anytime soon, at last word. Big miss by the Dirt Sheets there. We noted earlier this week how there's talk of Matt Hardy possibly moving into producer's role as well. Hardy is currently out of action with injuries, and his in-ring future is up in the air. So WWE's going to have just 100 producers.
Damn. Well, they do. They do have a lot of fucking producers. There's
well,
a lot
they're
going to
have more.
That's sad to hear, though.
Yeah, absolutely. For both of them.
It's really sad that they would report that he's about to come back when he didn't.
No, yeah, well, that's old news, man.
That's super sad.
What have you done for me lately?
Nothing. This is from Wrestling Observer Radio. Asuka could be a heel one day.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep. There's been talk of Asuka turning heel, according to Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio. No word yet on when Asuka might turn, but WWE officials do have plans for her, despite the booking as of late. It's possible the heel turn happens before the first ever All Women's Evolution pay-per-view in late October.
Wow.
Might turn heel one day, no word yet on when.
Possibly before a pay-per-view.
Could be. Possibly before one of the biggest pay-per-views ever. That could be then.
Cool.
But maybe not. I don't know. It's from Wrestling Observer Radio. Nothing says Women's Evolution like Nikki Bella in the main event.
Oh my god. Dude, don't do that.
The current plan for WWE Evolution main event is do Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella.
What? Yikes. What? No, 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 no.
That's terrible.
Her and John Cena are definitely still together.
Yeah. Vince, you know what? When I think women, you know what I think of? Nikki Bella. And you know what, Vince? When I think Nikki Bella, you think Nikki Bella.
Nikki Belly.
Nikki Belly.
WWE officials are banking on Rousey vs. Bella to bring in a lot of mainstream media attention for the first ever all-women's pay-per-view, according to Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio. The idea is that Rousey and Bella are the two most famous female superstars in the company, and that they should headline Evolution because they will be the best at drawing mainstream attention. By
How
the way,
is Nikki
Ronda Rousey don't need any help drawing mainstream attention.
How the fuck is Nikki Bella the second most over? What is it?
Her total Bellas. She's
it's
the
because
second
of the reality shows.
Second most famous female superstar in the company.
I don't even
Whatever.
There are other ideas.
Why? Who would you say was?
I don't know. I'm going through all of it right now, and she may be fucking right, but
she is. Just because they have all those shows.
I mean, Charlotte's pretty mainstream. She did the body issue and all stuff like that, but obviously they're not going to do that match yet. But again, the issue is you don't need another mainstream draw. Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey. You put her against fucking anyone, it's going to be huge. Right. There are other ideas that were tossed around, and plans could change. But Rousey vs. Bella was the ideal for the Evolution main event as of earlier this week.
Oh, my God.
There's the out, in case you needed it.
Ronda Rousey's just like the vignette. I think, you know how WWE's video packages are awesome? It's just like Ronda Rousey training in a fucking gym, just smashing dudes, beating the fuck out of everybody, and then fucking Nikki Bella's just like Toto Bella's clips. She's like, shut up, bitch, I'm training! And she's just like lifting stuff, and then 4 seconds later, her arm is broken in the match.
How bad would that be as a main event of...
It's not going to be an event, don't worry.
I know, I don't think it will be either, but honestly, if it was... I think the crowd would shit all over Nikki.
I think the crowd would shit all over the match.
I don't think they'd shit on Ronda.
I think they would shit on the match because I think that
would be
not
a very
at all
dumb
what
idea.
Evolution is about.
No, that's horrible.
Okay.
Well, they tried to make Nikki Bella into Wonder Woman, apparently.
It worked.
Didn't work.
I wonder why she would be in the fucking main event.
I wonder, woman, why are you in the main event?
This is from the Barn Burner Fired Up No Holds Barred podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That sounds like it. Hold on. That's
a long fucking podcast.
Yeah, but it does sound like an awesome bar and grill, though. Give it to me one more time.
That's what you were going
to
say.
Give it to me one more time. One more time.
It's the Barn Burner Fired Up No Holds Barred Kenny Rogers Roasters Barred podcast. If you thought Attention Horrors had a difficult time getting their name on Twitter, couldn't even put yes. I can't even imagine what they did. Dolph isn't crossing the T's and dotting the I's on his contract.
Oh, shit.
Yep. What's the story? According to Joseph Pisich, this guy's just a huge
all over the
name.
Place now.
Yeah, he's a huge name in the live
pedal. The dirt sheet busters segment.
On the latest Barn Burner No Holds Barred podcast, Dolph Ziggler was offered a new WWE contract early on Sunday before SummerSlam, but opted not to resign with the company. It is implied that this is potentially the reason why the show-off dropped the IC title to Seth Rollins on the show. The heart of the matter.
Or it made storyline sense, whatever, one of those things.
Here's what Pisich had to say on the alleged Ziggler contract story when he discussed it on the podcast. Dolph Ziggler is not re-signed with WWE. He did have a meeting today about his contract situation. They offered him a deal, and he didn't accept it. No wonder why he dropped the title. Because he was booked to the whole time.
Yeah, just from a storyline perspective, with Dean Ambrose coming back, it was going to happen,
right.
Obviously.
He was totally...
I read an article on Bleacher Report a couple weeks back, guaranteed losses.
Didn't see it. This next one's from the Barn Burner Fired Up No Holds Barred
Podcast. Shit! Back to back!
We need some type of sound effect.
Vince had all the meetings before SummerSlam.
Yeah, I remember that last week we talked about that. Brock had one at 3 or something.
Oh,
and...
there's even more. He had to just carve out more time in the schedule. What's his story?
Things could be
changing drastically before SummerSlam.
Does that really sound like that? Come on.
I added before changing.
That's very important. It's very important.
According to Joe Pisich on Barn Burner Radio's Fired Up podcast, No Holds Barred, Vince McMahon is set to have 3 important meetings prior to WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view. Brad Shepard said that the Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns finish was still up in the air. The podcast further revealed that the 3 meetings were between Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar, Vince and Randy Orton, and finally Vince McMahon and Daniel Bryan.
The heart of the matter.
Wow.
Given the fact that Vince is set to meet Brock, while his match with Roman's finish is apparently up in the air, there could be changes afoot. Lesnar has been rumored to leave WWE for a long time now, but never made the move to actually leave. Lesnar's meeting with Vince might just determine the finish to the match and the future of the Universal Championship. And here's a quote. There is a meeting scheduled with Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon. I've also heard that Randy Orton will be having a meeting with Vince McMahon, possibly about RU**ING himself. Is this rubbing himself? If so, you're allowed to write that. Not a cuss word. Yeah. And also, Daniel Bryan. He has not signed his deal with WWE. Apparently, he's scheduled to sign his deal at that meeting.
Wow.
D-Bry has been saying lots of
fucking,
stuff like
this. This is some high-profile details this guy's got.
I can't believe he has, like, the whole fucking meeting ledger of Vince McMahon.
That's what I'm saying. He's got to be the Vince McMahon's secretary. He's the only person who would have that information.
By the way, Daniel Bryan's, like, saying, oh, it's a 90-plus percent chance I'm going to resign with WWE. And they asked him, like, oh, what's the holdup? Oh, you know, I have a family now, so I got to worry about that and, you know, what my schedule is. And, you know, I hired a lawyer to look it over, so it's taking longer. He's, like, so obviously fucking signing with them.
Well, he's also so obviously just the dude. He's like, yeah, this is a long process. I'm sorry if you don't understand that. But he's like, I want my money, and we're going to make sure I get all the shit that I asked for. So I'm having a guy look it over. You done?
Per every contract negotiation ever.
Yeah, for real. It's not how it looks on TV. That's not how contract signings work, okay? Although I'm pretty sure Rip Rogers, or what was his name from fucking that movie?
Yeah.
Rip Rogers.
Rip.
He came to his contract signing in fucking dress as a ninja.
He was a ninja.
Yep.
But he didn't sign. He didn't sign.
Because you know what? Negotiations are difficult. Sometimes you have to get choked out by a guy. You know what I mean?
This is from Slice Wrestling. WWE reached out to AJ for Evolution. AJ Lee, that is. Per her being a successful woman in WWE history.
Okay. I would definitely reach out to her because of that.
Report! AJ Lee has been contacted by WWE in regards to an in-ring return. Vince McMahon personally sent message that she would be welcomed back in the WWE universe for the hashtag Evolution pay-per-view or a later date of her choosing. WWE made it clear the door is open. So, kind of seems like any like significant woman from the past is probably being contacted. And I can tell you right now where this whole thing about Vince McMahon contacting her came from, because not too long ago I read a thing from a former WWE writer. I think it was Kevin Eck, I think it was his name. But he's like, oh yeah, Vince absolutely fell in love with AJ's character, just was a huge fan of her, blah, blah, blah. So Slice Wrestling caught wind of this, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to make this a real sexy report and say Vince called her up himself.
Wow.
That's how you get behind what the Dirt Sheets do.
I appreciate
right
this.
There.
That's like, I got to go behind the clock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you go, like, I have a big grandfather clock, and you open the face, and, like, all the gears are there. And you're
all
like,
the
oh,
gears. That was that.
That's how that works, huh? It doesn't
shit. I don't
shit.
Understand it, but.
No, not at all. I have a grandfather clock, and I just pull on some chains every fucking couple days, keep it running.
Yep.
I think I'll die if it stops.
Oh.
Yes. That's a Twilight Zone episode I saw as a kid. Now it's, like, just some weird habit I have, so.
Mm.
There you go.
Ready for the coup de grace?
Please, poo me.
Naturally, it's from the Barn Burner Fired Up No Holds Barred podcast.
Why are we supporting this podcast by just saying their name over and over again?
Not supporting
they
it.
They are definitely top 20.
Yeah, for
we're
sure.
Not.
Now they are. Does anyone think that maybe, just maybe, Roman and Brock were supposed to have a 30-minute match?
Yeah, SummerSlam. Brian Alvarez said it would be one of the longest matches of fucking Brock's career.
Who had an Iron Man match before?
Remember he said that. He said that out loud. He said that they're talking about is either going to be a short match or the longest match of his career.
6 minutes.
So they went with short. That's good.
What's the story?
Oh, yes.
The main event of WWE SummerSlam 2018 was cut short by Vince McMahon out of fears that fans would turn on challenger Roman Reigns once again.
Wow.
The heart of the matter.
Not again.
The Universal Championship match at SummerSlam was reportedly called short by Vince McMahon during the match, according to Joe Pisich. Speaking on Barn Burner's Fired Up podcast, Pisich told
don't
how his sources
name.
Said...
You can't do that. That's not what we're
Pisich.
Here for. Now you're bullying.
Oh. Well, we are.
Little Michael bull. Jackson.
You're just being...
told how his sources said the match would have gone another 20 minutes or so.
Wow.
But McMahon wanted to call the match early because he feared fans would boo Roman Reigns again. Despite being billed as a face, Roman has received mixed responses from crowds throughout his main event run, despite the change
okay,
in duration.
Okay, to say the least.
Reigns was...
Lesnar. I mean, Reigns. Like, people hate Lesnar right now.
Reigns was always scheduled to defeat Brock and win the Universal Championship. So, fucking Vince just called an audible in the middle of the match. Nope, we're going to cut the last 20 minutes.
He's like,
minutes
Little Nate, Little Nate, we're cutting 30 from this fucking thing. Time to go. We're going Broadway. And by Broadway, I mean 6 minutes.
You know, call me crazy. But I think the match went exactly the way they planned
it
to go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Regardless, they walked out there knowing what the plan was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was six
yep.
minutes long.
Yep.
Good, good. That's good. I'm glad we... I don't know who this new podcast is, but I don't appreciate you just, like... Bill, is this your side podcast? Is that what you're
no.
doing?
No! The Keeds loves them.
You're like...
See, Donnie, you banned Bill Zahadi, so you had to find someone else.
I don't like it.
Pick your poison, Bill Zahadi or Pisich.
Well, stop making fun of his name again. That's just bullying. But, I mean, he doesn't say anything super offensive, does he?
Pisich? No, I don't think so. Just lies.
Okay, all right. So, it's a step in the right direction. We're reducing the hate. Is that it for Third Sheet Busters?
That's it.
BG, how we do? Mike Chiari?
Ooh, I'm finally champion, but I don't deserve it.
Yes!
Hey, guys, it's time for Wednesday Wrestling Minute. Yeah.
Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute. Wednesday Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute, Wrestling Minute.
Alright guys, it is time to talk Wednesday Wrestling Minutes. It's brought to you thanks to Joe Archidiacono and the Solid B Plus Podcast. If you need more NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Indie Chatter, check out the Solid B Plus Podcast. Available on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Mike Yard number one.
NXT Moments! We got the TakeOver Brooklyn 4 results. Kicking off the show, the Undisputed Era defeated Mustache Mountain sans towels to retain
although they
the
teased towels. They teased towels.
They sure did.
They
but then
towels.
They were like, oh yeah, there's other ways to get out of this.
I could just run in and kick them, and it wouldn't be a
right.
DQ. But that's
right.
Okay, whatever.
That was a 5-star decision by Trent Seven.
I'll tell you what.
This is an awesome fucking match, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
awesome,
it was
awesome
such a great
opener.
Yeah. Yep. Set the tone perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the next
love
match,
it.
Which just really followed
and,
it up.
And the War Raiders coming. War Raiders coming out was cool, and that's going to be an awesome feud, too.
I think this is the best tag team match in WWE/NXT this year.
I have to look at
it. Wait, in WWE main roster included? Or do you mean just NXT?
Both.
I don't know.
What's the better tag team match?
Shield against Team Hell No and Ryback.
No, DLC. I mean this year.
Oh, this year, okay, yeah. I thought you meant all time. Yeah,
not even close.
This was better than the one that Meltzer gave 5 stars.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
This is a really good match.
Brad, now, not,
go ahead, what was the problem here?
Peaks and valleys, we're going to the valley. Velveteen Dream defeated EC3. Great performance by Velveteen Dream, awesome attire.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Triple H was pissed.
He wasn't pissed, he was just like, there's some clothes you don't want for stuff
right.
to get.
He didn't even say, like, he's like, oh, maybe Vince will like it. Maybe he won't, I don't know.
Yeah, he's pissed.
EC3, yikes.
Nah, he's good. Like I said, he's good. He's not the best worker.
He's not going
to put on these 5-star matches that you expect from one of these guys. But
and
you
he's
know
not
what?
A good face. People were behind Velveteen Dream way more than EC3.
Well, turn him heel then. That's not his fucking fault. He's
it's bullshit that you fucking bash Roman Reigns every second, right. No matter if he has a good match or not, if he cuts a good promo or not. But then you hype up someone like EC3. It's absurd.
He's
Reigns
fucking
is better
guy.
In every,
really
every
well.
Conceivable way. Reigns
well. Velveteen no. Dream fucking wrestled circles around the entire fucking
this
match.
Only, this is a only... really good match. Yes, he's nope, not as good as Velveteen Dream, who's fucking
it was good
because
Velveteen Dream did everything.
The only really good part of this match was the finish with the elbow onto the apron. That was really cool.
The whole match was really good. I thought this got time. I thought they both showed their side.
And he did his
finisher
on the apron.
I like this. This was really good.
It
was the fifth best match on this card, but it was a fucking great card.
That's not what we're saying, though.
We're saying
EC3. Like, Velveteen Dream. Like, I thought the match was really good because Dream did fucking awesome.
Yeah, Dream did awesome. And EC3 was there. He did a lot of really good things in this match.
What did EC3
do?
Him
on offense
like
when EC3
beating his eye.
Oh my god.
Him on offense was sucky. He has no moveset.
What did he do?
Are you kidding me?
What did he do?
He's got Superman punches. He's got the spear.
I wish!
He's got all these two moves. Yo, hold he on. Does this thing called a drive-by. Ever heard of it?
Legit question, though. What did EC3 do during this match?
I can't remember a single
thing. I can't remember a single thing that he did. All I remember is what Velveteen Jr. did.
He did several suplexes.
Okay.
Unreal. Matt Riddle in the motherfucking house!
Bro!
Yeah. Very excited about this.
Why he was here, though. He said he was like, there's a sale on flip-flops. I think that's why he was here.
Triple H is like, you think the guy asking pretty much is like, you think he's gonna get high? And he's like, we'll fucking see, huh?
So
that's what it felt like to me. So yeah. He's there, but he's definitely there on like, we're gonna fucking see, dude.
Trial basis.
Nah, he's obviously signed. Keith Lee came up pretty quickly and had a match on NXT. So like, how quickly do you think we get him on TV?
It depends on the cut. Yeah, no, he's coming right up. He's gonna be a star attraction.
Cause he's awesome, right?
Yeah.
I think by next Takeover, which is Survivor Series weekend, he'll be up by then.
He's gonna be new RVD. They're
like
gonna
him,
put him in a singlet.
Him versus Velveteen Dream would be so good.
They're gonna put him in a singlet. They're gonna make him fucking put his hair in a ponytail, and they're gonna be like, "You're new RVD, but you don't fly. You just do."
I'd like him against Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah, I'd like. Here's the thing.
Him against anybody.
Here's the thing. If I've learned one thing from him and Evolve, the MMA background is definitely incorporated into it. But he's a wrestler, dude. He loves this. He's really good.
I guess Aleister Black
would
be good.
Anyone. Matt Riddle against anyone. I watched him during that WrestleMania weekend. He had like 5 or 10 different shows. He fought Minoru Suzuki. He fought Joey Janela. He fought James Ellsworth in that one day. Remember that? So he literally can do everything. But I'm saying he can literally do
everything. That was the waste.
He did a fun, but it was a fun comedy match where he was telling a story that way without so much as the physicality, which shows he can do the Minoru Suzuki fucking match. He can do James Ellsworth in the same breath, and he can still have awesome matches against other guys, too. He was great in
When he gets called up to the main roster, they're going to make him new Mojo Rawley. He's going to be hyped.
Inverted?
Yep.
Honestly,
he'll be hyped.
They need to make him like, the RVD type character, except for like high flying, he's just MMA style. But
so
he's high, exactly. Embrace it. if that's what everybody knows him as, it's like on the joke, everybody just makes a joke, you know what I mean? He comes out, his eyes always blood red.
His first backstage promo is going to be making an apple ball.
Yeah, that's right. Remember that guy on television? Dixie's like, he's eating his apple. That's good for him. I'm pumped for him.
Farm his apple.
Apple a day keeps the doctor away. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
It's a weird way to get your seeds out, but trust him.
She's like, I choose not to ask questions. Good.
We're going to take this to the next level. Ricochet defeated Adam Cole to win the North American Championship.
Holy
what
shit.
A match.
So,
what a match.
One of the greatest spots you'll ever see.
People can
never.
Oh, that super kick.
Yeah, the super kick was incredible. I've seen a lot of complaints about Adam Cole's work rate. Quote unquote.
Why?
Don't
fuck those people then.
Because he was told where he like actually talked and worked. And
so, let me say something about Adam Cole.
I loved him talking shit about
Adam Cole.
Works. The whole match.
He is special. Adam Cole was a protege of Kevin Owens.
You're not special, Donnie.
So Kevin Owens, he's like a little Kevin Owens, and that is awesome. And he's awesome.
Here's
at
the
what
thing
he does.
With. I think that because he's on the smaller side, people expect that he's going to do all kinds of flippy shit and high-risk stuff.
No.
That's not who he is. He works.
He works his ass off. Massive. He's a fucking really good fucking worker. But he works in a way that tells a good story. He works
right.
He works smarter, not harder.
He
you
doesn't
know
have
mean?
To do all that shit.
That's what Kevin Owens does.
He did it with Ricochet. He did it with Aleister Black.
Yeah.
He does it all the time.
He's a more cerebral wrestler. He's Triple H.
He's awesome.
Okay, again, he's definitely
just because he's smaller doesn't mean he has to do all kinds of high risk stuff.
But this match
I think that's for the disconnect.
This match is pretty good.
amazing.
Yeah, this match is awesome.
If not for the main event, it would have blown everything else away.
This is really good. There's not much more. Awesome. There's not much analysis I can put into it. I love this.
I liked the. Triple H talking about the match after the show was really cool, about him like questioning Ricochet if he was just in it for like the high flying stuff and to show off, or if he had the grit. And it's like, man, he kind of told the storyline after the match was done about Ricochet's journey so far. I really liked it.
Yeah, well, he spelled it out for you, which you're supposed to do in video packages, but that's okay. We're still
and
learning.
If And if Gargano, we'll see how long they want to keep him off TV or whatever, but I hope that when he comes back, Adam Cole is who he feuds with.
That'd be cool, too.
That would be amazing.
EC3 yeah. would be cool.
I would think Gargano feuds
EC3
with Ciampa when he comes back.
EC3 would not be cool.
EC3 versus Joey Garbanzo would be awesome.
Stop it.
That's how he turns heel.
Next match, Kairi Sane defeated Shayna Baszler to win the NXT Women's Championship.
I thought this was
a
awesome match.
But it was a really good match.
Yes, to me.
I thought this was
a
really good match.
I thought this was better than their Mae Young Classic match, for sure.
I think I think this is Shayna Baszler's best match.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, and Kairi Sane put on a fucking awesome match here, so this was, I love the reverse. She knew she was going to ascend. She's like, if I miss, she's going to get me, and then I'm just going to jump right over. And it was that 1-2-3 shocking end. Baszler doesn't look the worst because she still reversed it, and then she just got snuck with a roll-up, and like, that's fine.
Well, then you see the promo that she cut?
No.
Baszler? After?
Yeah, so it was like, she didn't win, I lost. Like,
good.
It's her mistake.
That's perfect. The perfect
yeah,
thing
Yeah, that's
said.
The type of heel that you want. And like, rotten, like, you know, the... All the four horsemen right there with her, so it's like, you know, you're trying to like look, you know, pretty okay in front of like your posse, you know what I mean?
I like
you don't want to like play.
I like it.
She's only lost twice in NXT, and they were both kind of like fluky. So even though they have her lose, she doesn't look bad at all. So, and you can continue with this feud, which I'm fine with, because they're like polar opposites, but they mesh really well. So, I like this. Main event, Tommaso Ciampa defeated Johnny Gargano in a last man standing match to retain the NXT championship. Killed it again. Not surprising.
Time out for a second. I'm just going to say this just so I get the hate out of the way first. Not the worst of the three matches, and I felt like the storyline not coming into it, not being as fluid as I wanted, or not making as much sense as the previous two matches, really hurt it. Sure, but it hurt the match. Sorry, from my perspective, it hurt the match. So
I don't think
this was at the caliber of the other two. If those other two matches are 5 stars, this is 4.5. This is not
I don't agree
with
you on the storyline, because honestly, like, there's only so much you... It's what I was saying about The Miz and Dee Bry. Like, there's only so much you can do. This is what I was saying about, like, instead of, like, potentially jumping the shark or prolonging a feud that maybe should have been cut, like, maybe that's what we're seeing. Like, maybe they weren't...
No, the triple threat would have been awesome, because that changes the whole entire aspect of the whole entire match. And then fucking what you could have done from there is then build to this match, which is what we were getting to, which would have been perfect. That would have been good storytelling. But we skipped that one part, and we didn't get the build to the last part, which we should have.
Yeah, but once you inject someone else into it, it's already going to take so much out of their feud, their personal feud. Like, to me, they need to be over with. And they can still... They had a great out with the finish, because it's just like with TakeOver Chicago a year ago, where Ciampa gets hurt, now Gargano's hurt, maybe they take him off for a few months, and then he can come back and you can reignite that feud, and it's a similar situation of when Ciampa came back against him. And out of that, I know, Don, you're upset, but out of Aleister Black getting hurt, they have now what they could redo the Stone Cold storyline that was botched for Rikishi and do it even better. And realize how that was fucked up, and now have a real whodunit, because last week's promo was awesome, and now they're talking about it so much on the show. There's so many possibilities for that. I can't wait to see what happens here.
I don't think that the story was the issue with this match at all. I totally agree. It was the third best of their three matches that they've had. But that said, still one of the best matches of the year in any wrestling company anywhere in the world. But... the thing that took away from it, if anything, is the fact that they had two street fight, hardcore type matches already. So there's only so much more you can do. And I think that's what, if anything detracted from it, I think that's what it was. Plus, I just think that, I don't know, it's just, you can only do so much in this type of situation. So they did an awesome job, and the match was great. They had a lot of cool callbacks from previous matches and previous moments. Which made it awesome. But again, they already had similar type matches a couple times. So at a certain point, it's going to be like, okay, we've seen most of this before. And I think that's what happened here. But it was still an incredible match.
Yeah, like, we've been very negative so far. But again, like Mike was saying, this is maybe the third best match of the fucking year.
Right.
It's just not as good as the other two. But the callbacks, they kept throwing those callbacks in. Like the first match that we saw in New Orleans where they're going to do the power bomb onto the concrete. Well, now there's a fucking table. Oh, wait, that's not good enough for Gargano. He wants to hurt Ciampa. Here's another table, and he's going to lay it differently than you always see other people put down tables. Then the callback to the first takeover of Chicago, where he's throwing them into the stage, and then he has Ciampa handcuffed, and the handcuffs come back from match two. There was so much involved in this match. I think it was a fucking five-star match easily. Like we're saying, it's just not as good as those other two, but I agree with you, Mike. There's only so much you can do, and it's okay. It's, they're not relying on the callbacks, but they are enhancing the callbacks. You don't have, though, the first meeting and then the epic, like, closing of him with the knee brace or him or Ciampa throwing Gargano's ring. Like, those are very memorable spots. This one, it's more about the callback and then continuing, and to me, then furthering the storyline that you want, Donnie, of saying, here's how we can prolong this. Gargano, you have to get hurt like Ciampa got hurt at the first takeover of Chicago. That way, now we don't have him going to 205 Live and look like a fucking jackass. He can come back to NXT. I think we're in for at least another, maybe two matches between them.
All right, well, let's go on to Lucha Underground. That was awesome. It was awesome.
10 stars.
5 stars.
It's an amazing match.
No, I'm saying
the whole thing
the
was
whole
incredible.
Pay-per-view. Yeah.
Always. There's never been a bad fucking takeover. Yeah. Still.
No. This is an amazing.
Never
takeover.
Never will be.
Do you think it was better than Noah?
No.
Probably not quite.
Yeah.
Although it was close. It was close, but it wasn't better.
We were there.
Takeovers this year have been insane.
I mean, we saw two Match of the Year candidates on that one card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Plus the main event was better than this main event, so.
Yeah. All right, Lucha Underground. Antonio making jokes. Dragon.
That's about Dragon.
But nevertheless, Teotaga.
Yeah, he grabs. He got invited to their wedding, and he's like, "That'll never last." And fucking throws it on the ground. Mm-hmm. He's awesome.
Matanza kills Salvador.
So there we go. I assume is we're gonna get Killer Cross now with London, and there'll be a tag team, right?
Or he just kills them all?
No, I don't think he kills Paul London.
And then Killer Cross brings them all back from the dead.
Oh my god, I love it.
Killshot is a dick to Son of Havoc and then loses to Dragon and Stick
Jr.
It's
true.
I'm telling you, they're trying to make him their Prince Puma.
You got him dicked off.
This fucking show was so good because it was the Killshot show. Mm-hmm. And we all know how good Killshot is in the ring. But I think he shined big time in this backstage promo, the way just how flippant he was toward Son of Havoc and the Mac.
The Mac is so good.
He was awesome. He was awesome. I love Killshot.
And he outperformed Dragon the Second Jr.
Oh, he worked him.
I'm not a fan of Dragon Aztec. I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a huge fan.
You know, he's good, but
he's really good.
He shouldn't be in a top spot.
I wish this was someone different.
He's a good supporting player. Killshot's a top guy.
Yeah.
Top guy's out. Yeah. Drago flies away from Arrowstar.
This is awesome.
It's only in Lucha where that sentence makes sense. Everybody else is like, what the fuck did he write here? Like, if I died tomorrow and they're like, I'm sorry, Mrs. Wood, can you send along his Wednesday wrestling minutes? And they're like, what does he say here? Drago flies away from, what the hell was he into? What the hell was my baby into?
He just bursted into flames.
Couldn't even spell dragon right. He just spelled it before.
I said Drago, what an asshole.
I want to know what, part of me wants to see Arrowstar with his whole mask on, and part of me doesn't, because with his half mask, he looks like he's like 70 years old.
I'm not asking questions, okay? He's from the future.
I like the storyline.
Yeah.
He's fun. He does a lot of twists and spins. That's fun. Go ahead.
The Reptile Tribe wins the Trios titles because Killshot is a dick.
Killshot is a dickhead here.
Fucking rolled, Son of Havoc.
He did. It's fucking good. But the feud between Son of Havoc and Killshot is something I didn't know I wanted. But now
I knew I wanted it.
I know, but now I didn't until now. Well, until this started, but I'm loving it. And the Mac is support. The Mac has been awesome in this whole situation too. He's like Big Rick, and he's just his head with like a light in it, and like it's Halloween Adventure. I love that.
He overacts to the point, but it's like hilarious what he does.
He's doing it like it's a '70s fucking porn almost. Like
it's like
shit.
He's like. he knows it's a joke, kind of, and we all know it's a joke, and we just all laugh together.
Yeah, that's all, that's good. That's what I want. I need more of that in my life. I need more laughs, belly laughs. But yeah, Reptile Tribe. Jeremiah Snake is a champion.
Yikes. Why? Snake. Where's Vibora?
Oh, shit. Dude, we got to get Jeremiah.
He's dead forever.
I think he might
be. I think he's dead forever.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Why would he? Why?
I don't know.
Had to be done.
No, it didn't.
Cage and Pentagon brawl ahead of next week's match. Please just fight back in the building like they fought for a week.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. Like, we just lose.
Cage
touch.
Has like a huge scruffy beard.
Yeah, I just that's what I would do. I would be like, listen,
couldn't get a haircut for a week.
We're gonna tape this match first in the season, and at the very end, you're never gonna be able to shave. And you gotta fucking at the very end, you gotta come back in, and we're gonna have bruises and shit like that. And it's gonna work. I'm telling you, they're gonna make it work.
I like Pentagon fucking lighting up the quote unquote fan in the crowd with the super kick when Cage went out of the way.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I did, that's one thing I enjoyed in the Gargano Chava match as well, the guy next to the thing getting super kicked in the fucking head. Like, it was a callback to Brett and Sean at the Iron Man match. Remember when the one dude just get fucking super kicked so hard in the fucking head? The bellkeeper?
Yep.
That was good.
Mark Yeaton, always got his ass kicked.
Go ahead.
Mac vs. Mil Muertes next week in a Halloween adventure match. Motherfucker.
Yeah, Mac is cool as shit in this fucking moment. I love this.
I wonder if they initially planned, like, alright, this is gonna air on our October 31st episode, it's gonna be huge. And then it was in August for some reason.
Yeah.
It was weird, he wore a literal witch hat, Antonio Cueto. Yeah.
Whatever.
That'll be
some
good.
Listen, awesome. People like me are already starting to get into the Halloween spirit. You know what I mean? I'm starting to prepare for October. No? Okay. Whatever. Okay. Oh, my tablet.
Impact Wrestling moments. Phoenix beats Sami Callihan.
Yeah. What was that?
I mean, Jeremiah Snake in a great TV match. At least I get Phoenix here. Free preview in 2 weeks. Redefined.
Yeah.
Phoenix versus Cage set.
Yeah, Phoenix versus fucking Cage. You can say whatever you want, but on paper, I know you're fucking excited about that. I know
no,
you would
not.
Watch
I'm
that.
Not excited
you would
about
not
it.
Watch
no, not
Phoenix versus Cage? BG, no. You're not excited by Phoenix
I've
versus Cage.
I've probably seen it before.
Who cares? What do you mean? Who cares if you saw it before? It's awesome now. Phoenix versus
Sami
Callihan.
I'd watch
it.
Yeah, Phoenix
I'd watch
versus,
that.
Phoenix versus well, Sami Callihan you? Is a fuck. No. It was great TV okay. match.
It's this not about a... if I would watch it, it's about if I will watch it.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, you're a fucking fool. A lot of people are fucking... Joe came up to me, he said, dude, listen, I turned on Impact.
I put you on CJ.
We were at the fantasy
He's
draft together.
Up.
I got him down for the fantasy draft. They're moving, that's it, they're moving up where they're at. So
Moving on.
But yeah, so what the fuck? Eat shit.
Eat shit.
Go ahead.
Johnny Impact beats Jimmy Jacobs when Kongo Kong gets involved. This is ideal way to use Johnny Impact.
I like Jimmy Jacobs, and I like him kind of doing this, so this is fine. I'm fine with this.
Smoke Show debuts with Falaba and KM. Who?
That is definitely a Smoke Show.
Smoke Show is Scarlett Bordeaux.
Is she just like, you're ugly, I hate you, Falaba?
Yep. Kind of. Cool. Well, no. She's very
like... Wasn't that like her anti-gimmick?
No, she's not. She's, like, very sensual with them. And, like, then she kicks KM out for being inappropriate
so like,
or something
like
that.
It's like Viscera and Lillian Garcia?
Ah, I gotcha.
It's sort of. But Fala Ba leaves, and he goes, all he says is, bah. That's all he says ever.
Bah.
And he looks at her, and he says, bah. And she slaps him. She said, you're disgusting. And he slides. He's got I like him. I like Fala Ba a lot, actually.
Why? Because
he's really good. He's actually got a lot of personality. I like it. He's like
That's who they're gonna send to Saudi Arabia next time WWE needs a Yokozuna guy.
That's offensive. Go ahead.
Austin Aries and Killer Kross talk shit on Eddie Edwards and then beat him down.
Yeah, so Killer Kross is officially the hired mercenary to protect Austin Aries. And he's just like, hey, I'm here for the money. He's like, I'm here to whip ass and
I'll work hard for the money.
He does. And I like him. I'm getting acclimated to Killer Kross here before the Lucha debut, and I'm pumped for that.
How about Killer Croc? Underrated villain.
Just the guy with Crocs? It's just the guy with Crocs.
No,
it's from Batman.
From Batman.
Mine better.
The guy with Crocs is Bret Hart. Eli Drake beats Joe Hendry in a fun match. Probably should have just went to NXT.
So, do you remember Joe Hendry? Remember he did that song
British.
Back in the day? Like it was.
Oh, Don Henley?
No, Joe Hendry. Nice. No, Joe Hendry, the guy he did like a.
The boys of summer okay. have gone.
Look it up. It was a thing popular about like a year or so ago. But he's very popular overseas. He's really good, and he's doing basically he's in this love triangle with Grado, and it's really fun. So. But awesome. Eli Drake is just on the back burner right now, and I don't understand why. We got to get him up higher, please.
Ove challenges Pentagon to a Mexican death match.
Yeah, so it's going to be Sammy Snake against Pentagon in a Mexican death match. Going to be awesome.
Allie beats Sue Young after Tessa interferes.
So not for the title. So Allie versus Sue Young, but Tessa comes down, starts fucking attacking Allie. And then Sue Young gets the mandible claw on her, and then fucking Allie just super kicks the shit out of Sue Young, and then Tessa beats the shit out of her. So it was cool.
That sounds very convoluted.
They beat the shit out of each other, so it seems like we're going with a triple threat out of this situation, and I'm down for that too, which is really... Tessa needs to be near the title, which, spoiler, she will be.
Yeah. Lax versus OG's street fight, film like Hardy stuff. Awesome matchup.
No, this was true. So, like, they did, like, a street fight. So, it was what you would see. But they did it, like, inside a fenced-in, like yard. So, it was, like, a inside...
Like a prison yard?
Yeah, like a Hell in a Cell kind of thing, but, like, outside. And they just beat the shit out of each other with a bunch of weapons. And they filmed it, like, it was a bunch of, like, almost like bum fights. Remember bum fights in the early 2000s? Yes. Like, it was, like, home videoed. Like, but it was done.
I remember
well.
Kimbo beating up people.
Yeah, that's true too. But
that
no,
different.
But no, this was legit, and it was really good. And then at the end, King kind of comes over to Conan, and he's like, "Come on, bitch, do something." And he fucking got on his knees, like, "You won't do it," and he knocks him out. And he's like, the last clip is Conan's fist coming towards the camera, and that goes to black. So it was a cool moment. I like it. They're doing really cool things on Impact Wrestling. At the very least, they're creating stories. They're creating stories and angles and visual content that I can really enjoy. So other people are getting into it too. So if you're not, you're missing out, man. PG, I know you would like most of these matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. All right, let's go on to New Japan because I finally finished it. So I'm going to give you just three honorable mentions on matches you need to watch. PG, have your pen and paper ready?
Got it.
Or you could just... You know, keep this email.
Yeah. Okada versus Tanahashi from August 10th. Fantastic. You know what you're going to get from those two guys. 30-minute time limit draw. Fantastic. Cool. Do you want spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to give them any more. Sorry. Tanahashi versus Suzuki is awesome. Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito, awesome as well. But let's get to the top five. Number five. I told you about this when it happened, BG, because I was stunned by it. Kota Ibushi versus Tomohiro Ishii from July 28th. It was... BG, I mentioned it before. When Kota hits that moment where he just turns into, like, where he just starts really kicking you in the fucking head and he turns super fucking physical, that happened, like, 4 minutes into this match, and it's Ishii, and he ain't backing down either. So this is as stiff a fucking match as you will ever see, and you're like, Kota Ibushi, stop doing that shit, because I need less of that. But he still manages to do a second fucking level moonsault. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tetsuya Naito. Zack Sabre Jr. won this match, which actually caused Naito to miss the finals, which is what gave Tanahashi the chance to be in the finals. So Zack Sabre Jr. playing spoilers, and this match was incredible. This match was really good. Zack Sabre Jr. super fucking submission specialist, and Naito really on the defensive this whole time. It was cool seeing Naito kind of be overwhelmed. It was a different look. Kenny Omega versus Tomohiro Ishii, just like we mentioned with Ibushi Ishii, it gets physical. And this is people who say Kenny Omega is just all flips and kicks and shit. Here you go. Here's super stiff. Here's the fucking strong style everybody wanted. And it was fucking fantastic. Number two was the final to me because Tanahashi Kota Ibushi had an awesome match, a really good match. I wanted Ibushi to win so bad. I really, truly did. But Tanahashi, you know. It's John Cena. He's John Cena. You have to understand that. And my number one match, and it's just a sampling because they didn't let it go too crazy long, but I want more already. Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi, August 11th. Awesome stars. Awesome stuff. Breakouts.
Awesome stars.
Awesome stars.
Awesome stars. That's how many I gave it. That's how many I gave that match. Awesome
how many stars.
Stars
for that one?
Awesome. Awesome. That's Davey M's thing once he gets older. He's like,
awesome stars out of five.
Awesome out of
he's like, the numbers just can't do it anymore. I'm going to use adjectives.
And fucking all websites are like scrambling, like, how do we put that in table format? But yeah, breakout stars, Jay White and Tama Tonga. They didn't win very much. Well, Jay White did win a lot, actually, but he beat everybody by cheating. And Tama Tonga and the Tongans, they just beat the fuck out of everybody and got disqualified a bunch. But he did a bunch of great stuff, promo work throughout the whole tournament.
It's very jealous.
He got Reigns pissed. He got Reigns pissed off. He sure
fucking jealous
did.
Of Roman Reigns. Who wouldn't be, though?
That's disgusting.
I mean, is Tama Tonga the champion of the universe?
And your MVP, without a fucking doubt, Kota Ibushi. The dude is a machine.
I'm a machine!
He had so many good matches. Best bout machine.
You just choke?
No, I just burped. I was trying to hide it. I don't want to burp that up. But yes, Kota Ibushi. So, BG, seriously, I would at least take a look at some of these matches. They all have 30-minute time limits, so none of them go over really like 20, 22 minutes, except for the Tanahashi-Okada match, which went 30 to a draw. But please, you like these kind of things. For real, for you especially, Kota Ibushi, Tomohiro Ishii, I think you would fucking really dig that match, and Omega Ibushi. And then, if you're still in the Ibushi mood, Ibushi Moody, go Ibushi-Tanahashi and watch that. I know you love Tani, too.
That should be the first match that you said.
No.
Two of my favorite guys.
Build to the final. You know, you got to build to the final. You got to get there. You know what I mean? Okay, cool. Is that it for Wednesday Wrestling Minutes?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Oh, my God, it's time for fantasy standings. I'm pretty sure I won, by the way. You guys have been, like, snickering and stuff.
Well, you know who didn't win and came in last with negative 125 points for the whole season? BG. No,
BG.
No, BG. That was bad performance.
Yeah, it was.
When you cheat, that's what happens.
Oh, shit. Throw it early, throw it often.
You get negative
125. No, you're placed in last.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he was placed in last by you this time.
I don't care that much about last place. And 16th with negative 45, Joe. In 14th.
Joe, it's better than negative 125 or whatever he is.
If I was cheating, I would have put Joe in last place, tied with Donnie. tied for 14th at negative 12.5, Daniel Hayden and Dante.
All right, there you go. At least you guys are together. Some of our best friends, at least we're together.
On 13th with negative 5, Alex McNinch.
There you go, McNinch. Getting closer. I think these are final standings, so you're negatives. Bad job.
In 12th with 5, George Sparrow.
There we go. We're out of the negatives now, George. Fuck that. Stay positive, my friend.
In 11th with 7.5, Robert Hernandez.
You ever been so excited? You're excited. You have $7.50. You're like, I ain't negative. Whoa! Finally got some money. Oh, baby, we're going to the dollar store tonight.
Go. In 10th with 20, Matt Cantillon.
Cantillani. Good job, bud. I think this is his first season.
Could be.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
In 9th with 22.5, Ira.
Ira, fucking come on, Ira. I expect better out of you. You've been through this war before.
In 8th with 27.5, Andrew Sampson.
Come on, man. Come on, Sampson. Where's your head at, Rubber Dolls?
Yep, that's it. In 7th with 40, Roger Allen.
Roger, thank you for your service. Bad job in picking a team, though.
Not much better in 6th with 62.5, Donnie.
There he is! Hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Not that good. In 5th with 75, Angel.
There you go, Angel. Good job.
In 4th with 85, Matt Judd.
I'm starting to notice a trend. Good job, Matt Judd.
In 3rd with 105, Andrew Skeens.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he is.
In 2nd with 125, George Cruz.
Someone cheated.
The defending champion
Someone
goes down.
Someone cheated, dude.
Mm-hmm. Sounds
BG,
like it.
BG, I feel like it's dangerous in here right now, don't you?
Yeah. I had negative 125. Someone cheated.
And the champion with 142.5. It's the artist!
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test.
Kaiser General Commander, Heartbreak Kid, Hitman, Storm.
show man, Hollywood big sexy bad guy, beast incarnate, nature boy, people's champion, cerebral assassin, big dog A-lister fucking Kane, phenomenal one, Arshu Franz Ferdinand, Dr. Darth Vader, Bishop, Admiral, Maestro, Master Sensei, Professor, Mr. Big Money, Maestradamus.
If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you've just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions.
Yeah!
Yeah. I believe in...
Fourth, the third, the fifth.
I believe in I believe in the safety. I believe in safety.
I did it. I won.
Well, congratulations.
I don't know what you're going to dub over that.
Odd timing.
Odd timing. All I know is that I said my entire nickname. It was fucking glorious. I am the champion thanks to the big dog. Myself and the big dog were both coronated at SummerSlam, and it's a good
thing. I'll give you that. You definitely cheated your way to the top.
We were both coronated.
I remember. Like I said it literally, wasn't it? PG, it was last week's show, right? He said, oh, I can get 35 points if Roman Reigns wins all of a sudden. It was like
Roman got me 20, Seth got me 20, and Big E got me 5.
Wow.
I blame George for not picking Cedric Alexander.
Here's the thing. Yep. If he would have taken Cedric Alexander instead of Daniel Bryan with the number one overall pick, George would have won this thing easily.
Wow.
We told him this. We told him why
George
did you do
Cruz.
That?
You were cruising for a bruising, dude.
No.
All right, let's go on to emails. And by the way, I didn't dub anything over there, Wink.
Mm-hmm. I know something happened.
He was too quiet.
Yep, something happened. You robbed people of what they really wanted to hear.
Email section, guys. Ring Rust Radio. Yeah, I'm fine with it. At yahoo.com. Keep short, keep sweet, keep apart what we're talking about. Not exactly what we're talking about, Monkey on number one.
This is from Judah. Flair for the gold shine. Subject is Patreon email. Kinda. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringrustradio. You can chip it to the email tier or higher and guarantee because one email read in this show every single month. I was once a Patreon back when I could afford it, but I never sent an email. I'm hoping you'll read this one as if it was the email for that month. Sure, I'll do it. Okay, enough rambling. I'm writing because I was watching SmackDown and I saw R-Truth wrestle Knock. And I was struck once again, as I am every once in a while, when I see him wrestle, that R-Truth is an incredibly talented wrestler. He's really athletic and has amazing moves, all this considering that he's not the youngest guy in the locker room.
He's an old man at this point in terms of the locker room ages.
He's like, he's what, 45 or something like that? So to get to the point of the email, why do you think it is that guys like that in WWE, but specifically R-Truth, was never recognized as a guy who could put on amazing matches and be a top star? It was instead treated like a joke and a jobber. I know this was long and convoluted, but I hope you'll cut me some slack, considering this is my first email. Yours truly, Judah Goldshine. P.S. Please, Mike, be creative. Don't just call me Goldberg. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. I would never do such
a thing. That's unbelievable.
I hate Goldberg.
You are a monster like that, though. You are the monster.
Somebody saw him somewhere and they thought he was Goldberg?
Yep. Stone Cold says, I've never been so insulted.
I agree. It's like, are you in lieu of a good wrestler?
Wow, that is offensive.
Friend of the show.
So you will get nothing but support in your love of R-Truth from us. His work with the NWA and TNA was incredible. Yeah.
Put TNA on the map, Donnie. You weren't even watching back then. You didn't even know about it.
Cool. But you know, there was a segment that I think explains a lot of this between R-Truth and Ricky Steamboat. You remember what I'm talking about, BG?
Of course.
R-Truth said people like us, they don't win top championships. They aren't the guy in big companies. And he was very blatant about why he thinks that he didn't get fucking the chances that he did. He was a fucking good worker. He is a loyal guy. He's been with WWE for a very long time. He deserves to have something. And certainly more than he was given. Remember the time he was with The Miz and how fucking awesome that was?
Yeah, it was
and he
great.
Fucking went against The Rock and John Cena?
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome. That was an incredible moment. It created something awesome. R-Truth could have been so much more, but he became a joke because it just...
I don't get what the issue is here because, I mean, I'm not sure I ever consider Truth someone who puts on amazing matches, but he's very talented, and I think he had a good run in WWE. He's still there. He's been there forever. Worked a main event program with Cena. Like you said, he main evented Survivor Series with Miz against Rock and Cena, held a few titles, But at the end of the day, like, not everybody can be a top guy. You can't have, like, fucking 50 guys be your world champion over the course of a few years. He was a top guy in TNA, but he was a big fish in a small pond, and then WWE is, like, shark-infested waters. So I think all things considered, he's done pretty well. Everyone has to play a role, and he's thrived in his comedic role for a long time. Could he have done maybe a little bit more? Yeah. Should he have been a world champion in WWE? I don't think so.
With a proper character and not just like Little Jimmy and shit like that.
Before the Little Jimmy thing, he was a very intense character.
Yeah.
And it was really working. And then they started to make him into a joke and the baby face, and it just stuck. I mean, they have him go out there and like don't know what fucking day it is or what segment he's supposed to be in or what the match is or what the pay-per-view is.
And honestly, it's entertaining.
It's entertaining because he's very entertaining. He makes things
and he spells his ass off
for
it. He's committed to his job.
It's still a joke. I mean, at this point, though, he's in his 40s. He's getting a good paycheck. He gets to go travel. But he gets to do his music thing. I don't know if he really cares at this point in his career. But looking back, like when he was doing that stuff with The Miz, there wasn't that many guys as a heel in the company that was more over than he was and better. And he could have had a shot to be a mainstay main eventer for at least a year there. Because at that time, CM Punk was coming up, and he was the guy that had to go over everyone at that point. Like,
but
he
also,
was gonna be...
what happened with that, and the reason partially why it got cut short is because he got suspended. And so they broke him up.
Okay,
and then he
Roman Reigns got suspended for a fucking month.
Right, but Roman Reigns was already very established at that point.
Whatever. Okay, so the short answer is...
R-Truth was awesome in TNA, yeah. And if you didn't watch his stuff in TNA, go back and watch that. And I mean, I liked him since I saw him when he was coming up with Road Dogg.
I liked him since he was K-Quick.
Yeah, I did like him since he was K-Quick.
Get Rowdy, though. Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody take it easy. But, yeah, I don't know. We're not in the room, so I don't know. Maybe he sneezed in front of Vince McMahon. I don't know.
Can't sneeze. So it's a fucking sign of weakness.
But he should have been treated better, like I said. One of my favorite promos of all time was him and Ricky Steamboat. That's
great promo.
That is the fucking person you needed if you wanted to get him over as a champion in any company. And guess what? It could have happened in WWE pretty fucking easily. But whatever. We're going to play games. Okay, next email.
Next email comes from AJ, Canadian, Des Troyer. Subject,
no.
Stupid moments in wrestling. It's a Patreon email. Go to patreon.com/ringersradio. Donate to email tier or higher. Guarantee get at least one email read on this show each month as long as you put Patreon in your subject title so Mike knows it's from Patreon. Mm-hmm. Got it? Donnie, you fucking asshole. Don't cut me off next time. Hey, boys.
What?
Why am I watching Demon Finn against Baron fucking Corbin? Why, Donnie?
Why not?
Why?
Why not? Who better to bring the demon back on than fucking Corbin?
Who better?
All the big matches he had, and then he does it for Baron Corbin.
Yep.
Who better than Corbin? Tell me, Donnie. Who better than Corbin? In honor of watching this bullshit, what are your top three most stupid moments in wrestling history?
I wasn't really as mad about this. Why, were you guys mad about that?
Here's the thing. Right, it's the only thing that could ever make me care about that match, but it was stupid because he had so many bigger matches leading up to this and never brought out the demon, and then he does it, like, basically for no reason here, and then he has a fucking title match and he doesn't do it, even though he wins every time he's the demon. Like, I get that you can't just have him win every fucking match and make him the demon all the time, but if you're having a title match and that's how you're at your best, why are you not the demon?
Because he wasn't mad at Roman.
My problem.
He wasn't mad.
He doesn't choose. He doesn't choose. No, he doesn't choose when the demon comes out.
Yes, he does.
Demon.
That's
chooses.
Why it should have been a storyline. That's what I wanted. If it's been, they even said on the show, it's like it's been over a year, whatever, almost a year since we've seen the demon. And it's like, all right, so make that a storyline. You know, when the last time he used it. Make it into a storyline, then. Someone has to bring the demon out. This one with Corbin, they didn't fuel that. It was just like, oh, you're a little guy.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
It's like, come on. Number three for him, for AJ. Mae Young gives birth to a hand.
That was a beautiful moment.
Yeah. Number two, Vince revealed as the higher power. People hate on this, I think, too much. I didn't hate this.
It's supposed to be Christopher
Daniels. Did you guys hate this?
I think it was disappointing because everybody was expecting someone different or someone to be brought in or something like that. But I mean, over the course of wrestling history, it's not something like one of my least favorite things.
I always believe that somebody was supposed to come in and then Vince is like, fuck, they're not coming in. It's going to be me.
And then you use that line.
So did NSYNC.
Mm-hmm. It's a great song. And then number one, Demon Finn returns for Baron fucking Corbin.
Oh, that's, you're being mean.
Anyway, thanks for all the entertainment. You guys helped me through a lot of long travel days for work that would be unbearable otherwise. And Donnie, I'm glad that you're alive, and congrats on the future baby. P.S. The Miz is better than Kenny Omega and Tommaso Ciampa.
That's fun.
And Rust?
Bring Rust!
We can say lies here, too. That's fun. Just hit fucking AJ Troyer just turned into Davey M. No one is ready for Oscar Jane Dorn. That's unbelievable.
Well, we didn't even fucking answer the question.
What was the answer? Oh.
The question is, what's your fucking three most stupid moments in wrestling history? What is wrong with you?
I only gave two.
Why? Okay, here's mine. Nick Patrick doing a normal count for Hulk Hogan to beat Sting at Starrcade 97, only for Bret Hart to come out and say it was unfair,
also
and then
screw
up for Hogan, making him look like a total dick and ruining his WCW run from the very start. That's number three. Number two, David Arquette winning the world title. Number one, Jinder Mahal winning the WWE title. That was worse than David Arquette. That's how bad it was.
Mm-hmm. The anonymous GM. I fucking hate that thing.
That was terrible.
Daniel Bryan not winning the 2014 Royal Rumble.
That was terrible.
Or perhaps any Rumble after that as well. And then CM Punk not being added to Twice in a Lifetime at WrestleMania 29 with that guy coming.
Holy shit, dude. Okay, there's a but semi CM just Punk, drove by your yeah. fucking studio.
But CM Punk not being added to that main event was the catalyst for us no longer having CM Punk.
I was going to say, is it because he became a fucking bitch and left?
Yeah, it's exactly why, though. And he said that.
But then we wouldn't have had Punk versus Undertaker, and that was the best match on the card.
I don't know.
Sure, Undertaker, but CM Punk versus The Rock versus John Cena would have been better.
I think I would have rather had Undertaker versus Punk.
I would have rather had CM Punk still in wrestling. I'll take him not having a match against Undertaker.
That's a Punk problem, not an us problem.
I actually narrowed it down to just one. Okay. And I'm going to say it was the whole Miz main eventing WrestleMania and winning the championship thing.
That's dumb.
Well, he retained the championship.
That was
the also great.
Thing in the moment.
I'm glad you knew.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't care about it. It's because it made me leave wrestling. I left wrestling.
No, it didn't. Yeah. You didn't at all. You were more engrossed than ever in wrestling after that, actually.
No, I never saw it. A lot of Miz scene I realized I never seen. Never Miz versus seen it. next email. BG, did you go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. From No One Is Ready for Oscar Jane Dorn. The subject is The Grandest Stage. Patreon email. I'm not doing it. Hey, y'all. One of my favorite parts of WrestleMania season each year is the stage and set reveal for the arena or stadium. So what are your favorite? Oh, is that a U in there? We don't do that.
British.
No. Do not fucking be throwing your U's
color,
into my fucking words.
C-O-L-O-U-R.
Humor. Humor. That's like, that's not what that, favorite. Don't do that to me. WrestleMania stages from throughout the years, and also some of your least favorites. This will be my last email for quite a while, as my partner and I are in hardcore savings mode for moving overseas, so unfortunately, I've had to stop my Patreon subscription. Part of me is sad, but part of me is very happy for you. Yeah. But I just wanted to say that bring your money back. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for all your amazing work. I'll definitely keep up with the show, and I hope I'll be able to be a patron again in the not so distant future. You fucking better be all the best.
Thank you for your support.
Oscar. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much.
But yeah.
Thank you for hopefully still listening to the show, even though Donnie's an asshole.
So I'm just gonna answer mine first because I didn't answer it. I answered it my own way. Right. I never really cared about WrestleMania stages. I just thought they were
unbelievable.
I only cared about Starrcade stages.
But, I honestly only cared about Halloween Adventure. Fucking was it? Halloween Havoc.
Halloween
match.
Havoc.
Halloween Adventure. Halloween Havoc sets. Because it was
up.
Like styrofoam fucking gravestones. They're the best. The giant pumpkin. Remember the Snickers pumpkin in the head? Come on, that was awesome. but I seriously, when we went to WrestleMania for the first time, that first stage in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, we were in awe.
Since
I've gone back and watched matches, I've appreciated stages a lot more since I've seen a big one like that up and close.
Well, legitimately, two of my favorite stages are the past years at WrestleMania.
Me too.
Not only, you know, partly because we were there, but they're also awesome, 33 and 34. And I also like the previous stages at those locales. 30 at New Orleans was really cool.
Yeah, I have
and
that.
24 in Orlando was also good. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed the overall theme of WrestleMania 9 at Caesar's Palace, even though it was like a shitty card. It was cool. But in terms of bad ones, most of the early WrestleManias were basic. But disappointing ones for me, 31 in Santa Clara and 32 in Dallas were just kind of meh.
I have those also. I thought WrestleMania 18 and 14 were also pretty meh.
Yeah.
Two that we didn't mention as far as ones I liked was 17 and 29. 29 was in New York.
Yeah, I was there for that one. That one was cool, too.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up, dude.
You're an asshole, bro.
Yeah,
you're so mad that Philly hasn't had
You call Killshot a dickhead? You're the dickhead.
Yeah, you are Son of Havoc and BG's the Mac.
He's just like, why you gotta be doing this?
Yeah,
he
is, and then you're just getting shoved to the side and won't do shit about it, like a bitch.
Not true.
Mac is holding you back right now. I watch it as I walk away. But yes, thank you for the email. But is that it for emails? And we're out of here! I'm your host, the most Donald Wood, at Donald_Wood on Twitter. You want some awesome live rolling Smarks comments, I'm shooting them out on the web. BG, where can they find you?
At Ringrest Radio and BGNY3.
Mike Chiari?
I'm at Mike Chiari, Chiari. On Twitter, you can read all of my articles at BleacherReport.com.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. RingRestRadio.com. RingRest Radio on YouTube. Facebook us, guys. iTunes, Stitchers, Google Play. You can interact with us on Twitter at RingRest Radio. Email us, RingRestRadio@yahoo.com. Mike Chiari, we got some shirts.
ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRestRadio. Get all our fantastic designs. Right there, so many awesome.
I like
t-shirts.
That you're leaning into it, so you try to kill it. You're trying to kill it.
No, I want it. I want it to last forever.
Do you?
I love it.
See, I can tell he doesn't. It hurts him. I'm sad. He's
no,
like,
I like
he's
it.
He's like, baby. And Lillian's like, meow. God, sorry.
I really like it. You know what else I like? I like the shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/RingRestRadio. I like the ones that are currently in production are going to be available very soon. Assuming they get approved. And I also like, touch your dick!
BG, patreon.com/ringrestradio. Help me recover from that.
Yeah, join us for our pay-per-view SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver pay-per-view match draft, Tuesday, August 28th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Then, also sign up for our Fantasy Football League draft, taking place Thursday, August 30th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Donnie, I think that's where you'll be able to unwind and just destroy everyone.
I'll tell you the truth. I have not drank any alcohol since everything happened to me because I'm on antibiotics, but they stop this weekend. So I will be able to have I'll have a few drinks for the draft. But I went out and I got myself some of this good-ass pumpkin beer that I love. So I'm ushering in fall with the boys of fall by having a pumpkin beer or seven. And fucking getting hammered and yelling at you. So come out and draft. It's a good time.
And come out and draft with us in September, because we have the September pay-per-view match draft and the WWE Season 20 Fantasy League. Tuesday, September 11th at 6 and 7 p.m. Eastern. And then the epic all-time women's draft. The first time we're ever doing that. First time I think it's ever been done. Tuesday, September 25th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're going to draft from the history of pro wrestling, any woman available, and then create a card for everyone to vote on at patreon.com/ringrestradio as long as you donate at least $1.
Boom. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We genuinely appreciate it. God bless America. And we are going out of here today on one song. It describes
Roman Reigns song.
Absolutely not. Call me Smarky.
He's Universal Champion.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. What's the
line? Roman Reigns.
They make me happy. That's the song. That's the line in the song. I'm more excited about the Shield than I am Roman Reigns. So we're going with Call Me Smarky. Eat shit. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back here next week.
I hate John Cena so much. Lose my mind for HBK. Why the attitude error fall? I'm just so smart, okay? I'd trade myself for a match between Punk and Stone Cold. I'll Twitter rant about this. I'm just so smart, okay? Ziggler's work is golden. Jericho makes me swollen. WWE would be better if I was booking Vinny. Hey, I love Wade Barrett. The best rose is Cody. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Miz is in the doghouse. They buried D-Bry. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Hey, I love Wade Barrett. The best rose is Cody. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. I like Austin Aries. Cause everyone else does. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. I'm gonna sit on the shore, just Christian and me, the Canadian side of Lake Erie. I complain, whine, and cry when my guys go unpushed. Here comes the five moves of doom. I'm just so smart, okay? Ziggler's work is golden. Jericho makes me swollen. WWE would be better if I was booking Vinny. Hey, I love Wade Barrett. The best roads is Cody. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Miz is in the doghouse. They buried D-Bry. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Hey, I love Wade Barrett. The best roads is Cody. But where stop Ziggler? So call me Smarky. I like Austin Aries. Cause everyone else does. But where's Dolph Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Dean Ambrose is my life. Raw was so bad. Raw was so bad. Raw was so, so bad. Seth Rollins is my life. Raw was so bad. And you should have known that. Raw was so, so bad. Miz is in the doghouse. They buried D-Bry. But where's Dolph Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Hey, I love Wade Barrett. The best roads is Cody. But where's Dolph Ziggler? So call me Smarky. I like Austin Aries. Cause everyone else does. But where's Dolph Ziggler? So call me Smarky. Dean Ambrose is my life. Raw was so bad. Raw was so bad. Raw was so, so bad. Seth Rollins is my life. Raw was so bad. And you should have known that. Raw was so, so bad. So call me Smarky.